All right. So the name of this study is A Deeper Look at Faith. A Deeper Look at Faith. It's surprising how many Christians, not realizing that this is the foundation of you being a Christian is faith, don't really know what faith is. In fact, sometimes I think when we read, and that's what the majority of the study is on, Hebrews 11, we just think it's a list or a museum of people who had faith in the Bible, not really realizing that it's using those people as examples or to give us a better description of faith. I'm hoping after we get done with this study, you'll have a stronger understanding of faith. And if you do have a strong understanding of faith, then it'll even be that much more clear to you. So we want to make sure we're grasping what faith is because we must walk in faith. I have to live by this concept in my life in order to be a Christian. Now, it shows in the very beginning that our lives defined is shown in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. It says, we live by faith, not by sight. Some translations say walk by faith. Either which way, walk and live, same thing. And it's showing that everything I do has to be by faith. And then the key, not by sight. If we're really paying attention, many walk by faith, maybe, but along with sight. That doesn't mix. You cancel out faith if you allow sight. And this is something that is something we really have to grasp and let go of the sight and allow our sight to be seen through our faith. Everything I see has to be immediately filtered by my faith. No time do I allow my sight to play a part. I hear I say that, but we tend not to do that. Now, just want to add in there, as with any other time we go over the lesson, you feel free to ask any questions on this lesson during this time. And then when we get to question and answer, you can ask any question even further on this lesson. Hebrews 10, 37 through 38 also shows us, for in just a little while, he is coming, will come, and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. The key he's showing here is how will he know who's his? He's saying, oh, the ones that are going to be mine, they're going to be ones living by faith. That's the key. Now, you hear living by faith, and I stress this because a lot of times we almost tell people to say a few words and now you're saved. And then you live your life. And you have a lot of people who claim to be Christians, but faith really doesn't play a part in their lives. So the question is, are they Christian? And our faith, and not just the faith I say I have, it's the faith I live. It's a lifestyle. Okay, so you got to recognize that. He even shows us where we get this essential element for life. And this is why Bible study, church, my own Bible study, myself, group Bible study, just being in the Word is so important because he says in Romans 10, 17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. So he's breaking two things down for us. He was like, so how I build and keep getting this faith is from the Word, and make sure that Word is from Christ. Now that's a warning to us. And what is that warning? You have some that'll just go to church and the minister can preach anything and you're just happy because you're in church. But he just showed you something here. He showed us that if the word that I'm getting is not from the Bible, and this is why we have to be Bereans and check everything that's being taught to us based on the Bible. Because you got a lot of people out here that are motivational speakers that give us some messages that sound good, may even make us feel good, but they're not from Christ. And the more you get those messages, the more you lessen your faith or you miss out on faith. So, and it stresses this here, faith comes from hearing the message. So it pushes the fact of why it needs to be preached to God, put that in play. So even in your studying is getting an understanding, but it's my job and other ministers and teachers' job to preach it to you for you to hear. For you to receive what that message is. Now, here are the confusing parts. There are different responses that are mistaken for faith, but are not faith at all as far as a Christian is concerned. Now, the word faith is used very loosely, and we'll explain that in a little bit. But let me show you the three things that we tend to mistake as faith, but it has nothing to do with faith. First of all, the faith based on me faith. It says that God does what I think he should do, faith. You understand that? In other words, those are ones who almost remold God, live their lives in what they think God should do. Now, once again, most of these people will make up stories, or they'll kind of make things fit in there, or they're very frustrated at God because things aren't working out, because it's not what faith is. It's not has nothing actually to do with me, but it's for me. Okay, that's the one mistake in faith. The second one is faith based on desire. In other words, that one is God does what I hope he'll do faith. Now, this one's a hard one because this is the most common one. It's the one that where people will say, I'm standing believing, because there's a verse that tells us if I stand believing that I'll receive what I receive, I'll get it. And we get that. Okay. But that's one verse. This is why sound doctrine is so important. I have the entire word to establish where that one will fit in. But if I don't, and I just use that one verse, this is what so many have. And I've had Christians even come to me going, but I've been waiting and I've been asking God and he didn't. And sometimes there was a timing or what they were asking for and they clearly didn't get it. And they were like, what's the matter? And you'll get some groups that will ignorantly tell people, oh, it's because you didn't have strong enough faith. And when we get people confused and it's a mess, but that is not faith. And the third one that you see that's a very common a response that we call faith, it's faith based on incomplete doctrine. That's what I was talking about, using that one verse. It's reading just part or more into what the Bible is saying, faith. And that's why I use the Abundant Life, because the Abundant Life group, they like to pick and choose to fit their agenda. The way you'll know that one works is they'll come up with a concept and get verses to support their concept, but only certain verses will do it. The way you know it's wrong is you'll go back in the Bible and you'll go, but what about this verse? Which will go against that concept. We see that many times today, but we tend not to do that because we tend to follow groups that we desire, not realizing it's distorting our faith. Our faith will always be fully based on sound doctrine. So if there's a concept I'm living by and I can show you something in the Bible that goes against that, that's going to put your living by faith in question. Keep that in mind and understand that. So just make sure those are not what you're calling faith and eliminate those immediately. Now, Jesus shows faith by showing God can, but preferring and accepting his will. Faith is going to be, like I said, this lifestyle in which I'm totally putting it in God. We're going to talk about that, but this is an example of what Jesus did concerning faith. In Mark 14, 35 to 36, going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. So first of all, he's letting them know, I'm praying this prayer. Because even though we're reading in the Bible, this is what I'm exactly supposed to do. He's like, you could do anything. And that's what we have to have, that mindset of my God can do anything. He says, take this cup from me. There's his request. Okay, so he's still placing his request. But then he goes, yet not what I will, but what you will. So he's basically saying, and this is where we bring anything to God, because a lot of times by sight, we'll look at things and go, well, I can't ask for that because that time's over. I can't ask for that because I can't see it happening. And we tend to do that and we miss out. And there's going to be a lot of us when we finally see God, we're going to say, well, God, I really wanted this. You say, why didn't you ask? Well, I thought, well, I felt the way it seemed to me. And that's where we got to get us out of it. But then on the other hand, we have to recognize and go and recognize that he does everything, but we want his will. That's a very important part of faith that we have to have, wanting his will. And you'll see why. First of all, I mean, also you see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego put their faith in God, even if he doesn't do as they wish. So their faith is not because he does, which a lot of people do. There are even songs out there that'll talk about what God has done. Okay. But we don't hear too many songs about what he has not done. Now, I'm sure they're out there, but people have to understand we are blessed by him saying no many times. We are blessed by him saying, hold on and wait longer on this. And what they showed here in Daniel 3, 17 through 18, when they were talking to Nebuchadnezzar, they said, if we are thrown into the blazing fire, the God we serve is able to save us from it. Just like Jesus showed. He said, everything is possible. He said, God could take us from it. There's no problem. He says, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. He was like, we can take this. He will do this. He said, but watch this. But even if he does not, that's powerful. if you throw us in there, we burn up. It says, we want you to know, King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Now, this is an important one because people have left Christianity because God didn't do what they thought he should do. As we were saying, that faith based on me or that faith based on desire. And as they're saying here, no, they had a true faith that was in God that was showing, nope, I'm here for his answer. So that's a very important part. And we're going to put more emphasis when we talk about how that works. So we come to the definition, what is faith? And I think we all should know this one, starting in Hebrews 11, 1 and verse 2. He says, now faith is, and I'll break these down, sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And then he says, this is what the ancients were commended for. Now think about this for a minute, because sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. Now, if I just use that, and this is where I'm saying the whole world or everybody has faith, if I just use that concept, there has to be something that's in, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? You have some people that may not be right in the head, and they may say, I'm sure there's somebody in front of me, or I'm sure this is happening, or whatever. And that just could be, you know, something mentally they're going through. But when we as Christians walk by faith, the world, that's why the world sees a lot of what we're supposed to see as foolishness. Because we're sure of God and we're certain, even though we never see him. What tends to happen, and this is where people may have heard me in the past say, I struggle with apologists, because what apologists do is their job is to prove God. They'll go to these debate sessions and stuff like that to show the world, let me demonstrate God to you. That's not for us. That's not what it's supposed to be. What we want people to be led by is faith. Okay. And faith is an assurance, because the faith is my proof, as we're going to see later. And I'm certain, even though I didn't sense it or see it in that sense. Okay. And this is why you have to add the second part here, mostly important, what that faith is in. Mark 11, 22 says, have faith in God. Jesus answered. Faith, not just faith, faith in God. Okay. That's a huge part of it. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. They're saying the same thing, you know, in God, in Christ, and that whole concept of God and the whole Trinity, that whole thing that I'm supposed to have faith in is in him and everything that Christ is saying. Now, what that means then is I'm sure of what his word says, and I'm certain that what he says is going to happen. You understand? That's what I base my faith on. What we tend to do is we put it on the things that we would desire to happen. And if God didn't say it, we have no business saying he said it. Please be very careful. You got many people out there that will speak and, you know, and we kind of do it carelessly without the reverence of God saying this and God did this. And unless you're 100% sure, because many people have done it and have been proven so wrong, and you still don't see that apology of how they blaspheme God. So we got to be careful of that. Faith in God is why you go to the word, so you can build up your faith in what he says. That's why it's called God's word. You know what I mean? So I can get what he says, so I can live by that. And that's going to be my proof. And that's going to be what I'm certain in. That's going to be the foundation I have. Now, the world needs substance as proof to believe in something. Faith must be a Christian's proof. And I say must be, like I was saying about the apologists. They try to create a proof, and you have Christians today that want a proof. And in their proof, the more they get proof, and remember, proof is seen by sight. Going back to the very beginning, we walk by faith, not by sight. Proof tends to stimulate our sight. And if I get my sight stimulated, and you may say, well, what's the big deal, Pastor, if I give you proof of it? Because in the same way, they can use that same sight, which is very deceptive, and make you go away from God if you're not careful. Okay. So that faith that we are supposed to have, that we got to make sure we're focusing on in God, has to come from him, what he says. We're in a world today where we're watching a lot of stuff and we're allowing what we see to determine what we do. And this is why we do have a very low faith. That's how, if you ever heard me say, and you can really see it when somebody says, we're lacking faith. How do you know? Because people are making decisions in life and things based on other things other than God. And this is why people can give conspiracies. This is why people can make up stuff. This is why people can listen to people who give you stories. Why? Because we're hearing all this stuff and it stimulates our senses. And we're going by that instead of by what he says. And that's, it's a common thing, especially in the church. And that should not be. That should not be. Okay. But it shows that, you know, we have to make sure that our proof is him. It says in Hebrews 11:3, it says by faith, watch this, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. Now you may go, well, what does that mean, Pastor? Well, lately, and just in the past maybe 100 years, we finally was able to prove certain things in the universe that we're looking at going, this is awesome, this is wow. And now some people are going, see, I get to understand it. By faith, we already accepted it, is what we should have been. Because what is said in Genesis and everything that he made, we just go, okay, God, we fully accept that, despite how you may feel about it. How you feel doesn't play a part, because once again, how you feel is part of the sight. We go into the word to do what he says. Now, I think we've been incorporating the what we feel part so much is why today's Christians are struggling so much, because we want to have a say when he is the way. I wasn't trying to rhyme, but it worked. But do you understand? In other words, he's the answer. And at times we still allow our input. And as you see, churches have molded and they've changed, and we change our marriages, we change our gender is, we change how we treat one another. We will hate people and not think about it. We'll marry who we want to and don't care about it. We'll distort scripture. And we do all that stuff instead of us doing it fully by faith. And that's why he says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. I don't want science to tell me that. Now, when I hear science, I can enjoy it and leave it at that. But I don't go, oh, man, I'm going to give you a great example. People hear about the dinosaurs. Christians struggle. Now, one big reason is because of how people read Genesis. They'll say, you know, after the 7 days and everything was, you know, after everything was created in the 6 days, and then the seventh day, they hear nothing about dinosaurs, maybe the Leviathan. And we try to make that work instead of just going, okay, you understand? And we might not get it. They're finding bones. Is this true? I don't know what it is. If it happened another time, I don't know. Their concept, instead of just going, okay, it shouldn't matter, because my faith is in his word. And there's a lot of things that are going to try to distort us by sight. And it is happening. Christians start questioning things by what they see instead of allowing what he says to guide us. Purposely done, because that's what I'm supposed to be living by, what he says, not what by what I think or what I see or by what somebody else says. Okay, now, our true faith will make what we do acceptable to God. We've seen that in the story of Cain and Abel. Hebrews 11:4 kind of describes that. And then I'm even go over it. And it says by faith. And it always starts in Hebrews 11 to let you know this was done by faith. These are our examples. Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. Because remember, it says he cried out from the grave about what happened to him. Now, look at the story briefly and look what he says to Cain to give us more insight on what he did versus what Cain did. I'm going to kind of give some, because what some people say, I'm not saying it's the wrong answer. I'm saying it could be. But, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Genesis 4:2-7 says, now Abel kept flocks, that's animals, and Cain worked the soil. Okay, so he was more of the gardener. It says, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. Now, some will argue, well, because the sacrifice should have been an animal, and if he would have gotten an animal, that would have been it. Okay, maybe, maybe not. We don't know. We just know. Look at what he says to Cain. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? And look what he says here. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. Did you catch that? So when we read that by faith, what he's doing, it makes what I do acceptable to God. It's going to describe what I do. It's not just me feeling good about what I do. It's not me really believing in what I do. It's me doing what I do based on God. So whatever it was, Abel did it fully based on God. Cain did not. And that's why he says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? If my actions are based on what God's word says, remember I told you, it's not about the outcome. It's about the output. This concept has always been, what I'm going to be measured on is, Keith, why did you do that? Because your word says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You get that. Many are doing stuff and we're looking for an outcome. Hey, I didn't do this and this didn't happen. Isn't that great? And God's going to go, what did I tell you to do? What's going to be your answer? That's why he says, but if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. And many are getting caught by this because we're allowing outcome. You understand? I did something, even though God didn't say to do this, it worked out. And that's not faith, that's sin. You understand that? Because it's an either or. If I'm not walking by faith, I'm sinning, as it says in Romans 14:23. It says, but the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because he is eating is not from faith. Okay? It says, and everything, so that includes all things, everything that does not come from faith is sin. This is why I have to live by faith. See, if I just apply faith in certain parts of my life, that means there's certain parts of my life I'm not applying faith. Makes it that much deeper. So that means I'm sinning. What Satan has done successfully is gave me a bunch of things that we call sin, and it makes me feel good. Once again, feel good when I see somebody else doing what I call sin and I know I'm not doing it, makes us feel self-righteous, right? We feel good. Instead of realizing I can just pick up a pencil, and if I pick up a pencil and it's not based on faith, I sin. Mind blown, because we should go, wait a minute, what? Because we're supposed to be living by faith. Think about that. Every single thing we do. Now, I know right now in our day and age, we're like, come on, Pastor, how can we do everything by faith? Well, you can. And the word shows it, because you'll be focused on God in everything that you do. But we allow so many distractions down here. We tend to allow sin to exist on things that we don't even see as sin. But if, because it was not based on what God says, it's sin. Something to take in, and we have to make sure we get it. The other example it showed is it took faith for Enoch to please God. Now, the whole story of Enoch is very limited in the Bible, okay? And there's a book out there that people call the Book of Enoch, which people struggle with and say they should read and stuff like that. But either which way, Enoch will see something about him, and I'm going to explain something that some people have just said. You have ministers out just say it. But there's a problem with what they say here, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Hebrews 11:5-6, this is, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life. That's what the Bible said. Now, if you notice what it doesn't say, then say he was taken to heaven. That's important. It says, so that he did not experience death. What does that mean? Is he still living? Where is he? Right? It says he could not be found because God had taken him away. Where? What does that mean? It says, for before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. We're going to talk about pleasing God. Okay. Now, before we do that, let me give you something here, because ministers will say Enoch is in heaven because God took him there. However, then there would be a contradiction, because Jesus himself said, no one ascended into heaven other than the Son of God. Now, this is where all these other concepts come, where people say there was, your hell was broken into two separate areas and this come out. I'm not saying that stuff didn't happen, and that could be. And it's saying, you know, he didn't die to go there. He didn't experience death, whatever that means. So don't get too deep in this. I just want to make sure you understand. It didn't say he went to heaven. We just kind of signed off on it instead of reading what it says and just saying what it says. You understand that? They say the same thing about Elijah. Read that again, because Elijah wrote a letter later on. We see that in Chronicles or in Kings, where he wrote a letter to one of the kings. So did he write a letter in heaven? You know, when he was taken up in the chariot into the heavens is what it says. But that's just something to put out there, something for you to think about. whole nother thing that we talk about some other time. But the important part in this, staying on point, is on topic, is by faith, it says he pleased God. Now, how did he please God? Well, it shows us this in verse 6. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. So he must have done it by faith. But then he shows us the elements that we have to have in this. He says, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So there's two elements here. First of all, the believing he exists. We're going to talk more at the end of the study on belief. But as it shows in John, as an example, John 20, verse 29, it says, then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, and he's talking to what we call doubting Thomas. But when Thomas said, I need to see, you know, the scars in your arms, in your hands, and on your feet, he says, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Okay. And just to give you jump ahead, belief is an action, is faith in action. In other words, my reaction and my acceptance and how I'm going to be is based on him. So he's saying the first thing that faith will be shown is my belief in him, and my belief in him will show in how I live. Now, if I do something different other than doing it based on God, this is why not living by faith is sin, then I'm not believing. Okay. The other element is those who earnestly seek him, that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And that earnestly seek him was one Greek word to show us that. But Matthew 6:33 is why he puts this in when it comes to provision. Now, when you read Matthew 6:33, and we did a whole study on that, on Matthew 6, where it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, we're in a world right now where we have jobs, we have abilities, we have bank accounts, we have retirements, we have stuff that can make us live for us, and then we start doing that, or we can do what he says. The ones who earnestly seek him, you're going to see living their life for his kingdom and his righteousness. That's going to be priority all the time. Do we see that? That's what's scary. You know what I mean? Like, we apply God when it's convenient. We apply God when we go to church. We apply God in religious areas, but our jobs come first. Our money comes first. You know, what we want to do comes first, because we tend to still, through our actions, show that we are a provider. And that's a problem. These two elements display that faith that we're supposed to have in God, those who earnestly seek him and those who believe he exists. So in what Enoch's life, it's showing that he showed and lived his life in the belief of God, and he always seeked him. Today, like I said, church can be put off because we got other things to do. Even though the word says this, we did this instead. These are ones that are not earnestly seeking him. Earnestly seeking him, God will allow, and just keep this in mind, a lot of stuff to happen, because if it doesn't happen, you won't be able to show that you're earnestly seeking him, that you truly believe in him, that you truly revere him. And they may be good things. I mean, I won't say good or bad. They may be desirable things or undesirable things. But whatever is happening, am I going to be distracted, or am I always going to go, this is my priority. I got to first his kingdom and his righteousness. Very important on this concept of faith. Doing things that may not make physical and mental sense, but doing it because, and I underline this, God said so. Now, you have people that will try to do things impossible through God. That's great when you say God can do all things. That part is great. But then we add the element almost speaking for God. I've had people who've gone to hospitals and gone to people and gone to incidents and saying God is going to. My problem is, if God didn't tell them that, how dare you speak for God? And that's done so many times. Your prayer is he can, and if it is will, he will. But when we come off saying he is, and we didn't get that verification from him, that's a problem. It says in Hebrews 11:7, this is by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen. Some say they didn't even have rain up to that point. Most say they didn't have floods up to that point, but whatever it was, there was something in between, or you know, as simple as rain, or something as huge as a flood. He was like, he explained it to them, as we hear in Revelations, but watch this, in holy fear, build an ark to save his family. So the holy fear was he followed every dimension and did exactly what he was supposed to do. In the story of Noah, if you ever go through it again and look at it, when it speaks, he gives exact, precise measurements and what he's supposed to use and how he's supposed to do it. And Moses did that. I'm sorry, Noah did that. Okay. And Noah, in building this, followed this to a T. That's the holy fear. Do you understand that? I know in his mind, if I do one of these wrong, in this thing called a flood that's getting ready to happen, my family's in trouble. And he just did it. We read the New Testament, we hear things to come. Holy fear is kind of passive to us. Once again, oh man, that's dangerous. Hopefully that doesn't happen. You know what I mean? And we make up stuff. It says, by his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that comes by faith. What he means by that is he didn't follow the world. Right now we have, and I've seen this many times, where people will read what the Bible says, look around and see nobody doing it, and going, well, nobody else is doing it. And what do? We join the world. God must not meant this, because I can't believe that he would say this and nobody else is doing this. So we follow the thing. No. Noah condemned the world. What it means is, I'm building this for me and my family as God said. That's it. You understand that? He allowed God to use him in that, but all based on and through faith. You understand that? So his whole structure and what he did was based on faith. So he did things that made no sense, didn't understand it. And God does that in our lives. He'll make us go through things and you'll come out of it going, because it took a long time to build this ark. We don't know 100%. Some say it's that 120 when he talks about. Others say it's, you know, much longer than that. Some say it's another time, but it took a long time to build this. And I'm sure he got ridiculed and people are looking at him. But we take that in mind, that he was just trusting in God, period, even though it didn't make sense. But we don't walk by sense. We walk by faith. I'll read these last two, then we'll close on this part, and then we'll go straight into the question and answer. Taking a step into the unknown because God said so. It's another thing we tend to do. Hebrews 11:8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. God said, go. Now, we may say today, I wish God would do that. Well, he does do that. His word many times tells us to do something, and we don't do it until we're comfortable in doing it. So I say it's not to lean upon your own understanding. You understand? Faith will be, and it could be in something that I'm giving. It could be in something that I'm doing. It could be in a relationship that I'm in. When I just follow him, I may look at it and go, this is not going to go over well. I failed at this many times, in which there's certain things I may need to respond at as a father or as a pastor. And I don't do it because I go, you know what? It ain't going to work out. I told you many times in the past, and I've gotten better with it, where I knew if I said something that the Bible says I'm supposed to, or respond the way I'm supposed to, I knew my wife would probably respond in a way that wasn't desirable. So I just didn't do it. That's wrong. I was dead wrong. What am I going to tell? Well, God, you know, that woman you gave me, you know what I mean? But that's not right. And that was showing a lack of faith. But Abraham, it said he obeyed. And even though he did not know where he was going, and it continued on saying, by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. They didn't realize what they were showing was, this is not my final place. The same thing happens with our bodies. We tend to treat our bodies as if this is our final place, instead of us living, looking forward to what's to come. This is why you always hear me say, stop living for the temporary, look forward and live for the eternity. It says, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Now, if we truly have that focus, it'll change how we do and deal with everything. But if I keep allowing the stuff down here to say, you're going to see me getting involved with the temporary, which is going to mean I'm going to be sinning. And I'm going to get in trouble because I'm going to be headed in the wrong direction. Finally, leaning on things that may seem impossible because God said so. Once again, these God said so's are very important because I'm only doing it from what God says, not me saying God says, not me speaking for God. Hebrews 11:11 says, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, so he's like, whatever age that is, even back then, he knew there's nothing I can do to have babies. And Sarah herself was barren. They knew, you know, she was already barren. She could have kids. And that's why they went through the whole thing with Hagar and all that other stuff. So they were at this point, it says, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Now, faith, like I said, we want faith to work tomorrow. Sometimes it may. Other times it could be weeks. Other times it could be months. A lot of times it could be years. And I know there are things, like I said, I know things in my life and I know things in other people's life in which, yeah, you know what? It's going to take a long time before this thing happens. Faith is, I'm trusting in him. It says, and so from this one man, and he, as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. That's the promise God made. And here he is, 100 years old. And now it's going to happen. But that's hard for us because we apply, once again, add all these other things, when he's probably in his 20s or his 30s, he's probably like, okay, that's when I'm going to have this kid. I'm preparing for it. And then the wife and him say, okay, let's move this process along, which we do with God, or we tend to become discouraged. And we start, oh, well, he's not going to do it. Instead of us trusting him, trusting in what he says. I can't stress that enough. Faith is me looking to him for his answer to do what he says. Any questions?